Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So we have seen Bhagavan saying, Idam Shariram Kaunteya Iti Kshetram. This body is the Kshetra. Then we also expanded, this body encompasses everything that I know, perceive and feel. The entire world of objects, Pancha Mahabhutani, Dasha, Indriya, Mana, Ahankar, Buddhi, my entire world of emotions, thoughts and objects, which I perceive every day, is basically my field. And it's not really too difficult, as we say, for us to believe that the entire world of objects is my field of actions, or field that I know. But it also included me as I know today, which is my ahankar, my intellect, my mind. All that is the field, actually. And the knower of this field is someone other than this body, mind and intellect. And it also included all the modifications. In other words, all the qualities which I associate with the Ichha, Dvesha, desire, hatred, the liking, disliking. So all that I can right now can define myself is now actually part of the field. Anything which I know right now can only be defined in terms of my world of objects, my world of feelings, my world of emotions, and my ideas. You remove all of that, then I'm not left, actually. So it's truly a paradigm shift for all of us, and say, then who is that knower? Because right now, my entire identity depends on what I have accomplished, what I have achieved, and what I have acquired. That, when somebody says, who are you, Neil, then I can rattle off, I was this, and then I did this, and then I did this, I acquired this, became this. And Bhagavan really here says, that's not the knower of the field. This is just the field you are describing. So up to about verse 7, what we have seen is the definition of the field. And it is completely baffling for someone who is sincerely seeking. Then there is nothing left that I know of, which I can define as the knower. So the next three verses actually, or next five verses, try to define the kshetragna, but not in a direct way. It first says that to know the knower, you have to uncondition self, which we know today is the conditioned self. And to have those unconditioning, what are the requirements? What are the qualities one need to develop to know this unconditioned self? So we started to say amanitvam. So there are 20 qualities in this verses are given. Amanitvam, first quality is not having that vanity, this pride. I am this and I am that. And as we have seen that, why that is important? Because all that manitvam that I have, the pride, is all about my acquisitions, my achievement, and what I think is mine. If you strip all of that, there's nothing there for me to be proud of. I was watching one of the movies where the guy doesn't know who he is. Now you remember, if that happens to you, what are you going to be proud of? You don't remember what your education, you know what you are. The guy said, I know how to make coffee, but I don't know where I learned. I know how to write and read, but I don't know why. Because other than that, I don't know anything. You strip this away from us, there is no pride left. And our goal in the beginning was to know what the knower is. The knower who has none of these qualities. He is different than the kshetra. Kshetra we already defined, which encompasses everything that I know. So to know the kshetra, I need to become amanitva. I need to, the first quality is I cannot be proud of anything that I have achieved, acquired, or accomplished. Adambhitvam. Now, manitva is at least something which I am proud of, something which I have achieved. Dambha is other than that. It's actually I'm showing off something I don't have. I'm actually projecting to people how wise I am, which I truly know in my heart I don't have much wisdom. Or how wealthy I am. I know I'm up to my ears in the debt, but showing off. So dambhito, adambhitvam, amanitvam, adambhitvam, then ahimsa. Ahimsa, obviously, not just at the physical level, but the mental level. Most of us who are seem fairly decent people, who have not hurt anybody physically, but may have hurt other people mentally by something we have said, the way we have behaved, or the way we thought. So even at that level, that ahimsa is very necessary. So why that is so necessary? I'm not hurting anybody because I'm not doing that. Well, the very fact that I am thinking about injury to somebody else in my thought, it defines that I, the ego, is still very much in existence to think that someone other than me should be punished. Hinsa only comes when there is no identity. Knowingly, we won't create any hinsa on ourselves. By mistake, we may hurt ourselves, but knowingly, we will not hurt ourselves. And therefore, hinsa literally means when I have a separation between I and the world, I try to gain upper hand by hurting others. So, ahimsa, because these are all qualities we need to know the knower who is other than this, the entire field of my objects, emotions and thought, my world of mind, intellect and body. Then kshantihi, forgiveness. It was a standard example we have used many, many times. When my teeth bite the tongue by mistake, I don't punch my teeth out. Obviously, I'm hurting, but I know it was an accident. In my teeth didn't really mean, neither my teeth nor my tongue are any different than I am. So I can't really hurt one to the other. When there is an identification, there is the automatic forgiveness. Arjavam, uprightness, straightforwardness. We come out straight and behave in this world as we see it right. Uprightness. Acharya Upasana. All acharyas say we Guru Bhakti. Otherwise the acharyas will be in a lot of trouble. Acharya Upasana. Obviously in our culture this has been taught as a very essential quality in a person. Simply because if you break that lineage of supporting the acharyas, then obviously the next generation of acharyas will not be there. And therefore this knowledge will be lost. Acharya is the one who has given you this knowledge or the path to see this difference between Kshetra and Kshetragna. If Acharya is not there, we will not be able to differentiate it. So to keep that lineage continue and to show our gratitude to our humility, Acharya Upasana is very necessary. Now, as Swamiji says, it's not that you go and do the Pada Champi to Acharya only. Acharya may not need that. If Acharya needs, you have to do anything. For the people whom we consider are dear to us, we will do anything that is required. But what will be the most important thing we can do is we'll live up to their expectations, live up to their ideals. So Swami says, Acharya Upasana is truly to live up to the Acharya's teachings and standards. I may be a great devotee of Swami Chinmayananda, but the greatest smuggler, that really doesn't do any good, right? So Bhagavan said, Acharya Upasana is the one of the essential quality of the one who wants to rise above this limited ego. Shaucham, cleanliness, obviously at all levels, at the mental level, at the intellectual level, at the physical level, cleanliness, so that your mind is now ready to take off. As long as mind is clinging into things which are cluttered, obviously it cannot rise into its flight of seeing what is higher. Sthairyam Atma Vinigraha, steadiness in self-control. Steadiness, once established in this goal, that this is what I want to know. Then only, otherwise we're halfway in a discussion, we lose interest. With that, in a party that happens all the time. We ask somebody, so how is your business doing? By the time the guy answers in detail, we have lost interest and we are thinking we're talking to somebody else. We are really truly not interested in knowing how his business is doing. It's something casual, we have nothing else to talk. So we say, how is your business doing? And then we move on. So how is your family? By the time the guy goes to, well, my son is doing this, my son-in-law, and then my grandchild, you are already on some other subject in your mind. You really didn't want to know about his family. It is something you have to say. So sometimes you will say, well, I have really nothing to do over the weekend. I'll look at Bhagavad Gita and see what's happening. If I want to know, I will have enough interest to know. So Bhagavan said steadiness, established in the goal of what you want to achieve, is very important. If I really don't want the subject to knowledge, any amount of curiosity will never be able to get me to that point. In Atma Vinigraha, self-control. Obviously, we have learned self-control. Why? Because without the self-control, mind will take on its own flight. You know, so. Indriyarthesu Vairagyam. This is a very difficult concept in our culture. And therefore, we in the end say, well, this is impractical. This is probably... And then we say, well, it is good for the sadhus. And then we say, well, it is not even good for the sadhus because we know what happens in all these churches and in the name of celibacy. We say, well, this is all obviously impractical. Indriyarthesu Vairagya. Detachment from the senses. Now, it's really difficult to understand. See, if the whole purpose of Bhagavan to tell me to detach from my senses, why did he even make, in the first place, all this trouble to give me the senses? This is all counterintuitive. We have seen in any kind of a deeper philosophy, always the contradiction gets you the real meaning out of it, you know. The one who is pervading everywhere but nowhere. One who is greater than everything but smaller than anything. This kind of contradiction creates mind to think and then come to the conclusion that there is something deeper than what my eyes see. So Indriyarthesu Vairagya does not mean I have to get detached from my senses. So even if I touch a fire, I don't feel anything. It's just not possible. Indriyas have its own reason and its own field of working. I should not be carried away with that. You know, when I said an obsession with something will let me get carried away. So obviously if I'm too attached to movie watching or music, I will forget what my purpose is. I have to study or I have to do work or something. Understand what is the purpose of the senses and only let them do that. And use those senses for that purpose only and not get carried away with it. It basically the path of moderation, the middle path of Buddha. The senses are there for me to work in this world outside and that's the only purpose for it. Anahankara, again we have over and over said, ego is the one which is creating all these mischiefs. That which identifies and say, me doing it, me enjoying it, me accomplishing it, me acquiring it. In reality, it's all remaining here. Nobody ever cared what I have really accomplished or acquired. Only I care. We see our name in a newspaper. We're very proud. And then we ask somebody, did you see today's Richmond Times? Oh, is that so, Neil? I've not seen it. I'll go and see it. Newspaper comes out every day, 365 days. Your name once in a while somewhere in the corner got, but you're so proud that my name came in it. If I don't see my name, 10 other people who are with me, their names were written that they were doing this, my name, I'm so upset. All this is because of my ahankar. I am the one, I want to see my name. People like to hear their name. People like to see their name. Therefore, the first training in marketing is try to remember your client's name. If I walk into your business and say, oh, how are you? Neil, right there you have won over me. But you say, Mr., I don't know your name, but I want to try to sell you this. First thing you know his name and pronounce it correctly. Everyone wants to hear the name. Why? Because name directly associated with my ego. That's my identity given to me since I became aware of who I am. Therefore, we're going to say anahankara. You are consciously trying to detach yourself from that. So, anahankara, evacha. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosh, anudarshanam. That's even further problematic. We actually looking forward to birthdays. When is your birthday? We want to celebrate it. He said, janma, mrityu, jara, all these you consider that as a dosha, anudarshanam. There is something like, something wrong with it. Dosha is actually a shortcoming or it defines an evil, but evil can have a different connotation. So it simply says this is the shortcomings that creates the limitations. So this janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, which is all we go through. The birth is painful, we all know. Mrityu, none of us experience. We have heard it is painful. Jara is old age. That's one thing I'm always worried about. When I'm already old, I'm still worried about it. Because we have this notion about what an old age is. And then disease, sickness, and even dukkha, pain. These are the five dosas. When we start seeing this is something not me, this is something, what you call it, a pollution or some imposition on myself. So I see this as a superimposition on myself. The janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha does not belong to me. It's not me. That superimposition, when I remove, then only I can see myself. Ill health is not me. Health is me. When I'm not feeling well, I want to get rid of this, whatever that I consider not feeling well portion, so I can feel well again. Therefore, we run to the doctor. Nobody goes to the doctor and say, Doctor, I don't know what happened today, but I'm feeling very well. Because that we accepted is me. Something superimposed on me, I want to get rid of it. All five of this, Bhagavan said, is superimposition. Dosha. Dosha, I'm trying to translate it. Something which we say is not correct, not right. And therefore, the dosha. Damaged goods. You go to outlet mall. This is on a sale because it's a defective lot. This is a defect on myself. Once I remove this defect, I'll know who I am. Janma mrityu jara adi dukkha darshanam. Further difficult concept. Asaktihi anabhiswangaha putra dara gruha adishu. Everything we constantly talk about, family values, Republican Party say we stand on family values. What is more important to family? What is most important to you? And I told Meena, I know this is a trick question. Everyone has to say family. If I say my job, what do you think my wife is going to tell me? Everybody has to say my family. Even a politician, whoever comes out and say, but because of my family. Family we consider is the most important thing, accepted in all cultures. Now he says, putra, gruha, dar, adisho. Son, wife and house. Unattached, completely. Non-identification, anabhiswanga. Non-attachment and non-identification with all of this. It basically encompasses everything we thought I'm doing right. I'm not doing anything but for my family. He said, that's the strongest attachment one can have. Therefore, that detachment is most important. Non-identification, because we have already seen that each one in my family has its own identity. As much as I try to superimpose my identity on it, it creates conflicts. If I start seeing that each one is an individual, and let them do what they are doing, and I keep my identity separate, it becomes much easier to deal with it. So, Bhagavan said it's very important. Putra Gruhadara Adishu Anabhiswanga, non-identification, does not mean that you don't care for them. Does not mean that you don't do your duty. But overly attachment. I know my son will never disobey me. He will do everything I tell him to do. This is all parents think. As they grow, you realize. But that's the reality of life. As the Khalil Gibran said, they come through you but do not belong to you. It's very important for your own subjective knowledge about the self to not have that strong attachment identification. These attachments will be something like post-it notes, you know. You can put it there, but when you take it away, there is no mark on the wall. So our attachment to our children, our house, you know, it should be like the post-it notes. It is only there as long as it is required. When you take it away, there is no damage to both of them. Not to the wall or not to the post-it note. It should be very limited identification. Nityam cha samachittatvam ista anista upapattisho. We all know this. We have experienced this. This is very important. Things are going to be ista or anista. Things are going to be good for us or not good for us. But that is something what I don't control. That comes through because my interaction with this world. I may be the greatest architect on this planet, but nobody wants to build any building. They have no use for me. And therefore, I need to be aware that what's coming to me is not because of me, but because of the world. So I need to become samachittatvam. I need to accept that with an equal mind. And nityam, constantly in that state of equanimity.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.